So I don't like pretzels, and a major reason for that came in third grade. We had snack time, and Mom and Dad were always very good. They sent us with snacks of our own, but one day I decided I was going to be just a little greedy, and the teacher always had a spare bag of snacks that she would hand around for the kids who had forgotten them or whatever reason. Well, it came to me, I'd already eaten my snack. I was like, I could eat a little bit more, but the pretzels were gone. So what was left was all of the salt down in the bottom of the bag. You probably have a good sense of where this is going. So I just stick my little third grade fist in and just put the salt right in my mouth and immediately regretted it. Still regret it to this day. But I learned a valuable lesson about salt. It doesn't exist for itself. All right, any of you who cook know that you don't make a meal out of the salt. The salt enhances what is there. It exists for the sake of the taste of whatever the meal is. So Jesus, in calling his disciples salt of the earth and calling us that, is saying we don't exist for ourselves. So do we live like we exist for ourselves? Another way to say this is that the way that we live should be totally different, totally baffling to the people who surround us, because we don't live like them. Those who don't know Jesus, who live in the world, live for themselves. I'm just living to get by. I'm looking out for number one. But Jesus is saying, if that attitude is found among his disciples, we're in serious trouble. In fact, the only thing that there is hope for us in is his own miraculous intervention. We need his renewal. So do we live for ourselves? We see in the first reading another way of looking at this, another proclamation of this truth. We hear this call to be attentive to take care of the hungry, the homeless. This is in the midst of the book of the prophet Isaiah. Israel is in the midst of profound suffering. They have been exiled through their own unfaithfulness. But nonetheless, they are crying out to the Lord. They've seen their wrong. And God is calling them to share their bread with the hungry, to shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked, and do not turn your back on your own. Then will God's light come. Then will your wound be healed, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You will hear God's answer. So is God saying, well, there's a quid pro quo here. You've got to earn what I do for you? No. God is revealing this deep truth that what we oftentimes experience as anything from an inconvenience to a tragedy is sometimes the hard medicine that God is giving to us to wake us up to the truth that we don't live for ourselves. Because oftentimes the reaction to something going wrong, again, anything from the mildest of inconveniences to the most profound of tragedies, is to close in on ourselves. To try and figure out, generally through wealth, pleasure, power, or honor, some way to numb ourselves, run away from, or fight against whatever is making us suffer. And we see an example of what it looks like to live rightly as salt and light in St. Paul. St. Paul is going among the Corinthian community, and he's saying, I didn't come to you like a slick salesman. Those are my words, not his. Instead, he says, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Not exactly what you would hear in Toastmasters or any other kind of instruction of how to speak to people and get their attention. And it's because Paul knows he doesn't live for himself. He lives for Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ lives in him. And he believes that Jesus Christ will work, even as he's talking about and experiencing suffering, to change the hearts of the Corinthians. So how do we deal with those moments where we really want to live for ourselves? How do we experience the gospel? If we say, you know, the church really needs to get with the 21st century in X, Y, or Z teaching, we've lost our saltiness. If we say, I don't like what this pope, what this bishop, what this priest has done, so I won't give to the mission of the church anymore, we've lost our saltiness. I had, in a former assignment, the cemetery of an old parish. And apparently, you could see the other parish literally just over the hill. You could see its spire. But there had been such a rupture that when that parish, which all that was left of it was the cemetery, was closed, instead of going and worshiping at Mass, receiving Jesus Christ and fulfilling the Sunday obligation, those who were upset went and gathered outside of the remnants of the old church at their Mass time. I can't read hearts, brothers and sisters, but I don't think that counts as fulfilling your Sunday obligation. And it shows a deep, deep lack of faith and an attachment to worldly ways of thinking and human things. And God will go to every pocket of resistance that we may have. If we think that we are the master of our health, then everything from the sniffles to serious illness is that reminder that all life belongs to God. If we are the master of our finances and are a miser, then every time someone asks us for something, or every person who is homeless that we see, is a reproach to our self-importance and the tightness with which we cling to our purse strings. If we think we run our reality through our schedule, through our connections, through our cleverness, through our bullying, then every disruption of our schedule, every change of what we think orders our life, is God saying, no, your life isn't about you. But I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying, because there's a dangerous way to hear this. To say that I'm just a little tin soldier for God. I don't matter. He just wants me to do his stuff. But that isn't the case. God asks us to do this, to not live for ourselves, because he himself is our life. There's a beautiful line from a great spiritual author. He says, oftentimes it takes misfortune, a tragedy, a personal loss, and then the vigilance against God suddenly gives way. And he calls out the truth that we kind of keep a certain vigilance. God, I really don't want you looking here because I kind of like the way things are. And so when we experience that loss, that vigilance against God can drop, and we can let him come in. So let's go back to our first reading. If you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday. So do we look around our life and go, yeah, it's pretty dark, it's pretty gloomy? All right, so ask this simple question. When was the last time I didn't live for myself? I gave myself to God and to somebody else? If it's been a while, start there. Do things that are truly unselfish in the place where you want to be the most selfish. Because that's an act of faith. Saying, God, you're greater than whatever it is I want to cling to. And you crucified, will live and work through me as you did for St. Paul and for every saint since you ascended into heaven. But let's say we go, Father, I am so hurt. I have suffered such a loss that I can't even think of mustering up the energy to give. Okay, then we take it back one step further. Have you let Jesus be your light? Or have you been trying to be your own light, be your own consolation, be your own comfort? Because along with the idea that we should be God's little tin soldiers is also the idea that God doesn't really care about what goes on inside of us. And so the place we have to begin then is to say, here it is, God. And that we keep going to him in that honest, authentic way, setting aside any temptation to distract or numb ourselves until we do start to experience that light. And we do feel just enough strength to stretch ourselves to someone else. God meets us where we're at. We only shed light on others because the light has dawned on and in us first. So as we come to our Lord in the Eucharist tonight, may we set aside all of our petty divisions and attempts at control, all of our claiming power and clinging to things, and drop the vigilance that we have against God, that he indeed may be that which makes us salty, that light which gives us light, and enable us to experience the freedom, the unself-consciousness that allows us to not live for ourselves, but be that salt and that light for those that he gives to us.